And then I moved over to Curry Village Way with 24 inches. And so it's basically about where we're standing at. Awesome.
What kind of condition have they found the existing pipe?
I would love to show you.
Well, I saw what.
I've got a flash drive that, you know, I'm going to try to do a little thing from start to finish for you guys to let you see where your money's actually going and how it's been spent.
Well,
but it is amazing.
When we did the Cutter Court project, they did a check of the whole system. And that was years ago, and they said that they could put the finger through the pipe anywhere that they wanted in the whole system.
Yes, absolutely. And the longer we wait on something like this, the worse it's going to get.
And has everything been taken care of over there in each walk?
Well, that's some of all the yellow outlined areas.
That's
the next phase of stuff.
Yeah. So she's not asking about one of your projects. So I just asked
asking all the work that we did out on settlers and then each walk was to take it there to so they could get permitted by the state for their land and everything. All that over.
Our work is done, theirs is not done. So I got Bill Bryan, I'll take care of this because So that's not a town project, it's a beach walk homeowners association project. They're about 3 weeks out. So their contractors got delayed on the final phase. So they're 95% of the way done. And their contractor keeps getting pulled off for other projects. So Bill Bryan sent me something yesterday and I asked him to inform the other homeowners association so they were aware because they've had issues with it. So they hope to be done by the second week in February and then demobilize. And then after that, we'll talk to them. Okay, now the town's participating, so where are we at with these lots? So whoever you assign with me to talk with them, Madam Mayor, we'll start back meetings in March to talk about those lots that we have.
That was me.
I think it was. I'm just saying, whoever, if it's you, we need to get those restarted in March after they're done. But they expect to be done by the second week of February and get all that stuff out of there. And it's went pretty well for them, I think. No, she's not in the association. Yeah, she's neither one of them are. You're not in Curry Village,
right?
No.
No, I'm
in
Curry Village. She's
talking
about each
one.
Okay.
No, but what's Michael Davenport's? The other homeowners association that's right there?
The Sands.
Or Curry Village?
I think it's Curry Village, yeah. Yeah, she's not in the one.
Okay. Just one of the detectives.
That's right.
I
don't know
if I'm on my Google
right now.
Huh?
What am I, Google?
You're a
child. You're the Oracle.
Nice job, Jimmy.
Curry Beach.
Huh?
You're the Oracle. Curry Beach. Yeah.
So what do you want this?
You turned it over to an outsider here.
I want to get completed on the storm drain projects and also the new bypass that we had installed. Going to the lagoon has got that tremendous. Also, which the lagoon cleaning is 95% done also, so we're trying to wrap up like three or four major projects in today's month. So we can start
Did you find the equipment in good shape? Did you find the equipment in good shape?
Well, the only major thing we possibly will need this year or maybe next year will be a new vac machine. We got a new backhoe last year, and it's got that balance. Basically, it's just a new back truck and getting a new lift station put in.
So the that's one there behind your building?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Definitely do that.
Absolutely.
Issue, right?
A lot of it's outdated, and you know, when you get ordered parts and stuff, you know, you're 6 to 8 weeks out on anything. So.
Okay, well, our engineer said he couldn't do anything until he had a survey.
Right. Actually, we'll give you an update on, I just got this yesterday from the engineer. February 1st, it's going to be advertised for bids. It's going to go out to bids. March 1st, hopefully they're going to award someone with the contract. April 1st.
To do
the lift station behind the shop. Yeah. the construction begins, everything goes through and everything's approved. And hopefully by the 23rd, the new lift station will be completed.
Jim, I bet the it's out for bid right now, is that?
No.
It won't go out to bid until first. February 1st is going to be advertised, and March 1st, hopefully, it's going to be awarded to someone.
Okay. Because we'll have to start the, as soon as we have the bid, we're going to start the financing process, because this has to go through the LGC, so there's a bunch of extra steps.
Nancy.
So,
guys,
okay. You and your engineer.
I can start up ready for
if you just say yes.
Well, we're still kind of waiting right now, you know, so we're kind of
playing the virus. So I don't actually have a report for you, but I do want to take time to go through some things in the personnel policy. I've had two goals this year. One is, as the police chief talked about, we are moving all of our data on our in-house server, where all of our files reside, to the cloud. We're changing our IT maintenance from one person to a company, VC3. They have been maintaining our email hosting and our website for years. We're very familiar with them. A lot of municipalities in North Carolina use them. We are halfway through the process right now. One of the processes that we've been going through with all the departments, all the software programs that are currently residing on our server, on the police department server, as we look at migrating that into the cloud. Benefits of the cloud, particularly for police, is security. We've never been secure. Anybody can hack in anytime and get anything. Other problem is connectivity with the other buildings, especially with public works. So this will help eliminate some of those problems. Give us better security, give us better backup. We'll be backed up in two different data centers in two different states, North and South Carolina. And we have 24/7 monitoring of our systems. We've already seen results of that with the internet connections going down. VC3 is already contracted, charter, and not fixed. So we don't have staff downtime that will come in the room. The other project is complete review and update of personnel policy. We adopted this in 2001. We've had a handful of updates through the years, but not a major review of the whole talk. Manny has been very instrumental in working on both of these projects with me. And we have spent a lot of time on personnel policy. What I want to go through today, I wanted to do it with department heads here in council. These are more benefit-related items. I'd like your input as we move forward and start working with the attorneys to get some language updated to the policy. Currently, right now, our policy says that our part-time employees are eligible for benefits on a prorated basis. Part-time is defined as working at least 12 months a year, expected 12 months a year, 20 hours a week, but less than 35. Temporary employees are only eligible for workers' comp. The temp is defined as working less than 12 months and less than 20 hours per week. Temps would be our lifeguards. A lot of our police officers, we call them part-time. They're not technically part-time. Part-time by the personnel policy. But they are actually temps. What we're finding, particularly with the fire department, as we're moving into a full-time 24/7 shift, they need coverage for the full-time shift people. Temp doesn't really fit that year-round. Part-time, once we go to part-time year-round, then we get into having offered benefits on a prorated basis. So, for example, if the fire department wanted to hire somebody to work 25 hours a week, they're now going to have to allow them time off for 6 days of vacation, six holidays, plus the town has to pay half of health, life, workers' comp, short-term disability, long-term disability insurance, the full 5% town contribution for the 401k, and the full retirement contribution. Plus the employee will have to pay a 6% retirement contribution. So the question to council is, should we consider removing the benefit eligibility for part-time employees other than workers' comp? To give the departments more flexibility, less impact to the budget, but allowing us to keep our full-time staff and even stay on with part-time. Okay, under the part-time benefits, is this what we're doing for them now? Or is this what this says in our personnel policy?
It's what it says in our personnel policy. We do not actually have anybody who qualifies under this as a part-time. We have mostly used in the police department officers during the summer to fill in. They don't work 20 hours on a regular basis. We also have another ruling through the state retirement system that if you expect an employee to work more than 1,000 hours in a 12-month period, you have to pay contributions. That comes out to about 19.23 hours a week. So we've kind of always tried to keep employees under that 19 hours a week to avoid the state retirement contribution. So right now we don't have anybody that's classified as part-time.
Just one quick question. Don't the police officers, even if they're temporary, have a different arrangement? They get more than workers' comp, don't they? I mean, don't they have some type of special insurance arrangements for them?
No, I think Dennis at one point was looking at it or wanted to look at it. If a part-time police officer gets hurt on the job, he just gets what he would normally, disability-wise, on that particular job. So he's screwed on his other job. So, and I think it has something to do with leading municipalities and
workers' comp premiums and insurance offerings in general.
So they only get a percentage. If they work 16 hours a month, they'd only get a percentage of that, not what we would get at full time.
Who set the definition of part time is 20 hours to 35?
That's in the policy.
Is that the town? Or
the that's the town's policy.
We did.
Oh, that's our policy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was a legal policy.
No.
So we can define part-time with whatever we want.
Yes. And that's one of the things we will be looking at also, because with the Affordable Care Act, we have some different requirements. If a employee works 30 hours a week on a regular basis, we have to offer insurance. It doesn't say we have to pay for the insurance, but we have to at least offer it. So me and you have been trying to look at different terms between a part-time and a temporary in the way we classify that. So this is mainly to say right now, if we are going to have somebody working more than 20 hours a week, do we want to continue this policy that we will give them prorated benefits?
Is vacation 6 days, is that considered 20 hours? Or just if they work 5 hours a day, 30 hours?
Yeah, do whatever they work.
So,
well, in police and fire, we look at shift work, and we're doing what now for holiday pay, 8.4.
Well, if they're part-time working 5 hours a day, if it's a holiday, they only get paid for 5 hours, or they get paid for the full week?
It would be based on whatever their shift is.
You know, so we define part-time, and we have no part-time workers right now.
Well, the fire department sort of does, according to the way that it's worded is that it's based on a long-term. So if your goal is to have these guys not be part-time, but they happen to work more than 30 hours or 35 hours, they're not technically classified as part-time either. So does that make sense?
Right.
And they occasionally go over that 35, and they might not be part-time because of the long-term goal is to not have them.
Right. I mean, when I look, I know you've made some changes. You've added another full-time spots, but I guess at one point looking at part-time, you had a couple people that were.
Right.
We really don't have to change the policy
and keep the flexibility if we maybe say that if you think you're going to have somebody that's going to have total hours that is equivalent to part-time and expose the town to benefits, then it should require council.
I think it's whether you want to expose the town.
Yeah.
So that if it's a part-time person, this is just a town policy, you can change it that they're not entitled to.
Right. So, I'm sorry I stepped out for a second. Let me catch up to you guys if I could. So, right now we're saying we haven't, there's no one that's working for the town that we've told and given these benefits to. Even though we think there's a couple of part-timers, sort of, they're not getting these benefits right now.
Right.
And how long ago did we make this policy? Because I was like, wow, I don't remember that part of it.
There's probably a lot of
it was 15 years ago, but I don't remember. We didn't have any part-timers in 2001, so I wonder why that would come out.
I think this is a general template.
That we took from somewhere else? Okay. So it was recommended because we didn't have it, we didn't spend enough time on it. Okay. And so those guys that you consider part-time, that consider themselves part-time, who is it?
Oh, we have Pat Perry, Parker Galloway, Danny Lanier.
All those are full-time jobs somewhere else, right?
For the vacation, sick time.
But they have full-time jobs somewhere else, right?
Right.
With other fire departments, right? All three of them?
Well, a couple of them don't, but they have part-time jobs elsewhere.
Okay.
So the problem is that it says 20 hours and 35 hours, but our shifts are 24 hours. So do we send them home at 3 a.m. to not have to pay them benefits? Or,
well, I think for council, the good thing is we're not taking something away from someone that knows they've got it, which is good. So then it makes it, we can make a better decision. That's what I want to make sure I understood, right? What's the human resources world now like around this issue? Because if we copied this in 2001, right, 15 years later, what are people doing with part-timers? Because they're probably doing something a lot different than this.
I would say most of the municipalities in North Carolina have a very similar policy.
Even now, that they're still paying partial benefits for everything?
Yeah.
I think they're working around it. Kind of like they're just not allowing them to acquire that many hours.
Yeah.
But one concern that we've tossed around is the fact that, like, for the fire department, you know, Ed has got part-time guys in place for a reason. Yes. Those guys are there to cover his regular guys' vacation. Right. They're sick, things like that. Who's going to cover your part-time guys if all your part-time people are on vacation and sick time too? So it's just, it's almost like a cycle that we could potentially get into.
Right, yeah.
You know,
you have to have more part-time guys to cover your part-time guys.
Full-time guys cost X. Part-time guys cost X minus 15% or whatever, and temporary people cost X. So part-time is still a viable solution, even if you give the benefits for the, you know, they're still less expensive than a full-time job. Like, hiring a fourth guy, hiring two temps is cheaper than going for a full-time guy and giving you more options.
But paying health insurance and everything
right.
for two or three or four part-time people compared to one full-time person, it adds up.
Yeah, it could be more.
It could be
and
more.
It's costing them. When you see what they're required to.
Well, probably most of them pay for it if they got a full-time job. It's only the people who don't have a better, cheaper health care would use ours.
And the answer to that, have any of your part-time guys said they really need or want all these benefits from the
family? To be honest with you, I haven't had a discussion with each of them, but you know, the general idea is they want as many hours as they can because it's a part-time job. They're receiving benefits at their regular job. They're supplementing their full-time jobs by trying to get as many hours as they can. So if we have a cap 35 hours,
And besides, when you're that young, you don't care about any of that stuff until it happens.
So they're not doing it in order to hopefully get benefits.
Right.
They're doing it just to grow, which could be cut back if they start receiving benefits because all the contributions they have to deductions.
Yeah, so I think the issue is that as the leadership, the town's got to balance, why do you offer benefits so you can recruit and retain? Right, and we got to ask the department, do you feel if we reduce this, you'd have any problems recruiting and retaining part-time? That's the first question the department needs to answer for the council. If we reduce this, right, so the question is, should we eliminate some or all of these part-time benefits? Would that impact your ability to recruit and retain the candidates you want as part-timers? I don't think so for the fire department, police department. You guys don't do any part-timers right now, but other department heads, do you think you have any problems recruiting and retaining? Because that's what benefits are for, right? So that's the first question. So the answer is no. The second one is, from the town council's perspective, what do we feel, to Joe's point, we're not Walmart, we're Pure Beach, what do we think we owe our part-time employees as benefits, right? That's the council answer, because the department has said, you don't need this to get them or retain them, so now council has to decide what's our standard for part-timers, right? And so, you know, are some or all of these something we feel we should provide as the town of Cary Beach as benefits for part-timers?
I think if you provide any one of these, you're going to end up having to provide all of them.
Why? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. They're not required legislatively, right? Andy, we don't have to provide any of these. We just change our policy, right?
You have to do 401k.
I think you can pick any of them you want. Or none of them, right?
Yeah.
I think we have to provide workers' comp. That's required.
Right, but, and then the 1,000-hour rule for the retirement system.
Right, so the retirement system, if we go over 1,000 hours, we have to provide that. But vacation, you don't have to provide. Sick time, you don't have to provide. Holiday, you don't have to provide. The health, life, workers' comp, short-term, long-term disability insurance, you don't have to provide. Or you could even change the cost thing. You could say, we will provide it, but we're only paying 20% if you want it.
Or then, make the town secondary.
Yeah, I mean, so then the question is, council, what do we think we owe our part-time employees for a benefits package? If the department says you don't need any of it to give these people, then it's just pick what we think we can afford or we want to offer based on what we think is the standard for our town.
You got to have a doctor.
Yeah, that's required. Mm-hmm. So that, and yeah, and it'd be dumb not to have that.
Ed, are your part-time guys working more than 1,000 hours a year?
In theory, they should be. There might be a couple that are closed this year because of filling in for one faculty. Absolutely needed them. But in theory, the way that we hired them is that way they do not pass that threshold.
Yeah, I think you just have to monitor that. Set up in your system that 800 hours, you get a flag so you can monitor.
Not that I can give you an answer on that. We don't want them to go over 1,000. We're trying not to, but based off of, you never know, like Hunter's about to have a baby, so we're going to have a few guys fill in there at 1,000.
And also, the part-time people don't want to go over it because then they're getting hit. Their checks are getting hit. So
right.
Whatever their part-time hourly rate is, you know, 6% is going
to
retirement, so they
don't generally want that either. Unless
they can
work more hours to make up for it.
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't do benefits, then
he
said
we
do have to do retirement
to pay the higher rate. Yeah, also, they got to work 60 hours, 1,060 hours to make the same money as 999, because that's the 6%.
I would have been very good from the fire department standpoint, I'm sure Harold agrees. A recommendation would be to change the language on the hours to match what police and fire are work, because we don't work 20 hours if they're 35, they're 24s and 36s. So, you know, from I think it'd make it easier all around if it was an even number, you know, okay, you don't work one shift as opposed to 20 hours.
Right. Well, or two shifts, make it 25 if you want to. But if we change the benefits where it's the same as temp, then it wouldn't matter, right?
Well, when we're thinking of benefits, too, remember that the part-timers that we have in town are working dangerous jobs.
Yeah, I mean, police and fire, certainly, and around heavy equipment, that's pretty dangerous, too.
So, again, if it's not a retention or hiring issue, then it's just council.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have to decide what are the part-time benefits and then change it. So Nancy and Mandy, you think right now that most towns 15 years later are still offering all these vacations, sick and holiday to their part-time employees?
What I have found is that a lot of towns are in the process of updating their policy. As
okay.
We've gone through this, I've contacted several towns. I've reached out, I've been on the listserv, I've done a lot of research and gathered a lot of policies, and a lot of policies are very outdated.
Yeah.
And they're not really in the positions of offering that to their employees, or they're not giving them enough hours to meet that criteria.
So they're limiting their hours,
limiting
which
so
means you have more people
policy,
to deal with,
yes.
Which is not better, I don't think.
If you just look at what you know based on major companies today.
Yeah. Right?
Most of them aren't offering
right.
retirement options anymore.
Right.
Well, contribute 401k, that's your problem.
right?
Yeah, and part-timers don't get any vacation.
Yeah, part-timers don't get vacation. So if you look at what major companies are doing today, they're not doing this. I'm not saying they shouldn't do some of it.
A lot of them are saying they work 32 hours for part-time. You have to work 32 hours a week to be considered part-time.
And earlier, state law intervenes with us, where it doesn't, the private enterprise. If we said part-time is limited to 1,000 hours a year, and you come up at the end of the year with somebody who's worked 900 and or 980, and you can't put them on one 24-hour shift without going over, and I guess I don't understand the semantics here, that happens the last, the 12th month of the year. Does that mean you have to go back and pay for retirement before,
you're really
or just for
be,
that month?
You're
or
so really supposed to be projecting and estimating.
Right.
So if you think that John Doe is going to go over 1,000 hours, you should really start it now.
Well, that's where the 20 hours came from. If you're scheduling someone 20 hours a week, that's over 1,000 hours a year. I mean, that's how the 20 hours got there.
In the retirement system, too. That hasn't always been in place.
Right.
So that changes this a little bit too. I mean, I worked part-time. I was considered part-time and worked over 40 hours a week for the sheriff's office who was under the county for 4 years. I did the same job for 4 years and not one dime was ever paid in, and I didn't have any benefits.
Right.
At all. In fact, I was furloughed 2 weeks out of the years.
Right.
That I was there too. So, and my only request was, hey, can I please be a member of the retirement system? Right. That was what I was fighting for while I was there. I didn't care about super vacation or even health insurance. I was married. I got that through Fury Beach, actually. So I just wanted retirement. Well, then, lo and behold, like a year or two after I left, they instated that rule of anything over 1,000 hours, you had to be paid in.
Right.
So that's kind of a new thing. And so, yes, you are supposed to look at the 12-month calendar and project where you're going to be. And it is possible to do that because Ed knows what, like, he knows what he has to cover.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you wait till the end, then the employee is going to have to come up with their 6% for
right.
a year.
Right. Right. Yes.
That's what I was. That's what I was asking. If Ed doesn't, for some reason, loses track of it, we have a fireman comes up in that last month, then you do have to take it out
well,
for the entire year.
Yeah, so the issue is the way it's,
yes.
The way it's written, and this doesn't say the legislature, so you have to look at how it's written, but it says expected,
right,
not did.
Well, that's why
so you don't have to backlog.
Yeah,
I don't think you backlog. So if it happened 1 year, you're just like, okay, next year you got to start taking out. I don't think you end up backwards paying.
It depends on what the law says.
Well, I know, but that's why I said you have to look at it.
But so I guess what I'm asking Ed and Harold, can we stick at 1,000 hours for that part-time?
Yeah, like I said, in theory, it shouldn't be a problem.
It's just another
thing to try.
You are coming up now. You can't have your volunteers also working and be paid in the same job. The fire department right now has the most restrictions on them, I think, of all the departments. Just from they're getting it from all angles. So this is something that came up when we met and Arlen and the commissioners met. How much burden and how many restrictions do we want to put on one department to be able to cover the 24/7 shift?
Well, we're not putting any
of them. What expense to the town?
Yeah, we're not putting
them.
Well,
I've
got to remember, well, I got to keep them that somehow.
Well, that's what that little alarm clock is for. That
well, if you don't go to a 20-hour plan, leave the 1,000-hour plan, that doesn't work. Three shifts a month without problem. Three shifts a month that has 960 hours. But if you don't, just use the three shifts, you're good. But with a 20-hour room, we can't work one shift.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the 1,000 hours, that doesn't put you in any jeopardy, right? I mean, you can cover it. I like the 1,000 hours a year.
Well, the 1,000, but then if they're going over that on a regular basis, then you got to get into the benefit.
But they're not going to.
And the 401k and the
and they're not going
well, to. So that's two different questions, right? So if we change to define part-time as expected to work over 1,000 hours a year, are we still going to add all those other benefits in? Yes or no? Because they're still optional. Council can say yes, and it's pretty easy to change our policy then if you just take out that one statement about what part-time is defined as. Say it's defined as expected to work over 1,000 hours a year. And then the second question, and that's easy, I agree with Emily. That makes it easy for everyone. But then the second part is, do we still say part-time benefits or all the other stuff if you're expected to work over 1,000 hours or not?
I think you just go with what the law requires.
That would just be retirement workers' comp then. Now, well, temporary employees or work comp. Yes, yeah, so workers' comp is for anybody, which is good. And then the law only requires retirement, right? Mandy, you know what you guys said? All the rest of them are optional. Right. So you're saying eliminate all the rest of them.
The only one I'm not sure about is police with the 401k. I don't know if that's...
That's fine. Well,
unless they're specialized.
Like, well, I think if we just change it, part-time benefits are all those required statutorily. And then you guys have to figure that out as it changes, right?
Yeah, I was asking Mandy, I'm not sure if part-time,
right,
if you still have to pay the 401k.
That's,
yeah, but if it's required, it's required. If we make our policy, we do whatever's required by the state or federal government, then that's what we should be doing anyway, right? So,
right. And if the government changes that in 4 months, we don't have to change
our policy. That's right.
And you don't have to decide today. I can bring it back to the February meeting. I just wanted to get the conversation going as to how you think you want to move forward.
Well, Jay, what do you and Jim say?
I don't have a problem with vacations in the holidays. That's a flexibility.
With paying it or not?
And SAT paid dates.
Well, not if they're under, if they keep them under 1,000. If we,
well, no, I mean, if a part-time, you're going to have a part-time thing, that's 18 days.
Right.
If you're going to say that you're going to pay your part-timers vacation, sick, and holiday pay, then either if we're going to pay it, we're going to have to track it and enforce it and, you know, keep up with all of that. But then the problem that I was saying earlier is it becomes a cycle. If your part-time guys are here to cover your full-time guys, who's going to be here to cover your part-time guys?
Well, if we redefine part-time to expected over 1,000 hours a year,
I'm not talking about 1,000 hours a year.
No,
I'm
know.
I'm talking about spent vacation and holiday.
Yeah, so, do those hours count towards the 1,000?
No. For one thing, I would make sure a lot of your part-timers are there to work on holidays when your full-timers...
Is a part-timer over 1,000 or under 1,000?
Over 1,000 is what we're saying.
What is it called when it's under 1,000?
I don't think it should be 666. I think it should be 7,000.
What do you call an employee under 1,000 hours?
Temporary.
A temporary.
Right.
I think we need to think about this.
We're talking about part-timers when we should be talking about temps.
No, we're talking about whether part-timers should get benefits or not.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're not going to allow part-timers.
No, we're redefining it.
We're redefining it as not more than 1,000 hours per year.
Right.
And if they go over and you expect them to go over 1,000 hours, then you get only what is statutorily required.
So a part-timer is going to be anybody under 1,000 hours a year. Anybody over 1,000 hours a year
is a part-timer.
Is going to be a full-timer.
No.
Then what?
No.
And
35 times
anybody over 35
I don't care what the hours
well,
are.
Well, he's just got a point.
Yeah, your point is what's full-time? I'm saying. That's why I'm looking at.
Do we have a definition of full-time?
Hold on.
35
times 50,
right?
1,750 hours is full-time. 35 times 750. Actually, it should be 32, right?
Well, our policy is 35.
It should be 35.
But I thought the federal government's policy is 32 hours a week. Isn't that right?
Then I want to know why everybody else in the world works 40 hours a week. But us.
What do you mean by that? Everybody doesn't work 40 hours.
But it should be 35, 52 hours a week.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
They're 52 hours a year.
For the fire department.
Yeah, but you take it to which vacation now.
For the fire department, it's 212 hours per 28 days.
Position.
What was that again?
212 hours every 28 days.
So I guess Jim's point is, great, we need to understand what the definition of full-time is before we can figure out the part-time and temp one.
By your policy right now, full-time is expected 12 months, ongoing, and more than 35 hours a week.
Okay, so if you say 2 weeks vacation, that's 1,750 hours in a year. In Corning, it's 2,040 is full-time.
Yeah.
Just 40 hours.
So, but in ours, it's 1750. So, between 1,000 and 1750 would be part-time, to answer your question, Jim. And below 1,000, if we change this, would be temporary. And those are the three classifications. Right? Mm-hmm. And then, benefits-wise, if we do what Emily suggested, which I started, and then she said, yeah, if we make it statutorily required, temporary and part-time would have basically the same benefits, and if you went over 1750, or we called you full-time, then you'd get all the benefits. And then the changes to our policy, the way I see it, is we just eliminate the definition and change it to over 1,000 hours and less than full-time. Because I don't think I put the 1750 in our policy. You guys, as department heads, are going to say these are full-time employees.
I think you make it more complicated.
Yeah, that's why I said I wouldn't put that in.
We have a hard time interpreting it now.
Yeah.
Right.
Question on the table is, somebody that's not a temporary seasonal employee that you're going to expect to work 12 months a year, 20 hours or more, and less than 35, do you want to give them vacation, sick, holiday, health insurance, 401k?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's
fine. And at least two of us say, no, drop it. It sounded like Joe said we should sort of keep some of it. Although he didn't say exactly what. And Jim, Greg, I said.
I agree, but there's got to be an Allison. We wouldn't get a flat tire against the kid.
I think we can get something.
Sorry, I'm a kind of one up here.
Well, why don't we look at it until the next council meeting?
Make sure that people want to work here instead of the new river road.
Right.
That's not why we want to work part time here.
Right.
Because they're interested in pay, they're not interested in benefits.
That's why I asked the department heads for
yes, that is, that I would say, I don't know, 80% of the time, that's 100% accurate. What do you think it is for capital? Who's now working for John?
How many hours a week does she work?
16.
So she has not benefits anyway.
No, so she doesn't have benefits.
Right.
But I mean, if you're gonna use her part time, that's a lot more hours. You know, so I think it should be something, but that seems like a lot. 18 days, that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't think we can afford that.
Right.
Well, for me, it's that the department heads don't need it to get good people. Why are you paying it, right? I mean, I hate to race to the bottom, so I'm sensitive to Joe's issue about contribution to Walmart. So I think that's true. You know, we got to think about what we as a town want to project ourselves at. And I agree, it's not Walmart. But I think it's also you don't just give money away. That's not what our job is, right? If you can get the people you need based on the pay and the work conditions and just your reputation, why do you pay extra stuff for part-timers? If the department has said, no, we really need all this to recruit, okay. But I mean, you're right, 18 days when you're only working, whatever that is.
3 days.
Yeah, if 52 days out of a year, wow. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome, right?
That is actually ridiculous.
Yeah, right, exactly. So,
I mean, I would find it hard to believe, like Mandy said, that a lot of towns are in the middle of changing it's just hard to imagine with the way things are and limitations that
right.
You can make more benefits rather than reducing this.
Yeah.
Like the holidays, so we would pay them for
the common perception
for all holidays.
You work part-time, you work part-time.
That's
your
right.
Goal in life is to get full-time so
that's
you can
right.
Get off the
exactly
you
right.
Know, I have a hard time with this 18 days because, okay, our part-timer is going to have to work on this month on January 1st because that's the day everybody takes off. But that's one of their holidays.
So you get time and a half or double time.
So we're going to start paying them time and a half.
That happens in public works when we work on the holiday.
Not for our part-timers.
So. But I mean, for the heck, that same thing happens for our full-timers.
That's fine, but I don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think we agree.
I mean,
the rest of you get it.
No, I've said vacation, certain holiday. I'm fine with eliminating that. Because just trying to figure out what's a vacation day or a holiday for a part-timer is crazy.
And after January 1st, and then
because if you give a part,
I would probably do something like say, look, you got 7 days. You can either use them for 6 days, or you can use them as vacation.
That's well, and if the guy calls in sick, you call another part timer.
Yeah.
Well, you have to keep paying.
This is,
and you know, then, so you're paying.
You're talking. So right. You also ask about.
Basically, you're talking about writing a check. Right, for what you're saying, they're going to get them. So if it's 16 days or whatever the number is,
right.
We might talk about just giving them a check for that.
Right.
He brought up Kathleen, okay? Kathleen is the only part-time person in that department, and John expects her to be there 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, and she is sick Monday and Tuesday and can't do it, okay? So we want to give her sick days. That is totally different between public works and fire department and police department who have other part-time people to call on.
Well, but John, you let her make up the time.
To make up the time.
8 hours.
Yeah, we can't look at the whole picture based on one person. And if John wants to have her come in 8 hours on Thursday to make up for the 4 hours she missed on Monday, you know, that's between the two of you. But it gets way too complicated when you have a whole group of part-time people and somebody has to work on January 1st and every one of their part-time people go, no, I'm going to take a vacation day that day. I'm not going to work.
I think how the department heads implement the policy may be different between departments. We just have to decide what the policy is, right? And so I think that we eliminate the 20 and 35 and make it expected 1,000 hours. And then we just eliminate all the benefits that aren't required by the federal or state government. I don't think we'll have a retention or recruiting issue. And if a department head has someone that gets sick and is losing pay, they could swap people around and let them make it up. That's the department head's job to manage that, right? So if one of our part-timers is like, man, I was sick, but I really need the money to pay my bills, I'm sure the department head can work something out. Okay, work today, right? And that's him to manage or her to manage their budget. So I don't think we should worry about it. They'll take care of our part-time employees. We just got to tell them what benefits they have. And if we haven't offered anybody these benefits before, we're not taking away from anyone. I say we just make it go away and simplify the policy like you guys recommend. So I'll shut up now. I need two other people to agree with me.
Well, I'd like to keep health care, but keep it as a secondary because almost everybody.
But they're not getting health care unless they go for 1,000 hours.
They need a workers' comp.
They don't get health care anyway.
Right.
So in most cases, I don't think they really want to pay that.
Everything that we're talking about only kicks in over 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
That's
except,
right.
Except for workers' comp.
And retirement kicks in.
So saying that.
But health is just an option.
But he's saying keep it for over 1,000 hours. So if you have someone that works half time.
Everything that we're talking about is an option.
Mm-hmm. Look, let them have health care if they want.
Well, they're already paying half.
Well, workers' comp, if they're hurt doing
the health care system is so screwed up as it is.
Right.
That,
Are we paying health care for any of our part-time people?
No.
No.
So See, we're not doing it anyway.
We don't have any, we do not technically have.
Yeah, but he's saying it would be a benefit if they pay half or whatever.
Look, everything on that list, nobody's using.
Right.
Nobody. Right. We're sitting here rearranging chairs on the Titanic. Right.
So we just give them retirement because it's required by statute.
Okay, can I support this? That's true. Can I support it? We're not using them anyway. Put in $1,000.
What Jim is saying is that the town, maybe not reputation, but his view of our philosophy
is
that.
I think the town owes an employee something.
He's saying if an employee gives half over 1,000 hours, which is half a year's work, the town should do half their health care. That's what he's saying, right? And that's what I'm saying. It's a philosophy thing. We're talking about philosophy. We're not talking about.
And I'm okay with making the health plan for Cary Beach secondary.
Right.
They've got to use the one with their other employment first.
And at what point do we give
we can't
them
do that.
Health care?
State health system won't let us do that.
Yeah.
They will be hiring.
Yep. What's the matter with this state?
It's North Carolina.
Yeah.
But at what
point? We don't like
everything, actually.
We don't get a lot of choice.
And at what point do we do that?
Over 1,000 hours.
After they've worked 1,000 hours?
We,
anything that we leave up there only kicks in after 1,000 hours.
So the department head has to define part-time or temporary
hours.
Or you can go by the ACA, which is 30 hours. They work regularly 30 hours a week.
Right.
You can often help insurance at a front
yeah.
Right.
For that 1 month,
I
should have that next year.
Obviously,
may not be 1,000 hours.
To the likelihood, too, in my opinion, that some of my persons would have want the health insurance is probably pretty slim because it's going to cost them almost $250.
Well, so here's a perfect example. I hear what you're saying, but here's a perfect example why I sort of see Jim's point. You're some young guy and you can't get full-time anywhere, which happens more and more, and so you're doing two part-time jobs. And part-time job A is, you ain't got no benefit. It's going to cost you $600 a month for health care because you got to buy it on the open market through the American ACA, Affordable Care Act. Okay, my other part-time job is at Cary Beach, and if I can get 1,000 hours a year, if I can convince the department head I'm worthwhile to work over 1,000 hours a year so they classify me as part-time, Cary Beach will pay half. Now instead of $600, I'm paying $280. That's a good deal, right? And so I can see you could get some good young people in public works or the fire department or the police department that you don't have a full-time slot for, or you have a part-time slot because of the budget. You get the best guy, and there's a benefit, right? And then Jim's point would be, look, if we're taking more than half of their time from just a philosophical view of Cary Beach being a great place to be and treating people well, we pay part of their health insurance. Right now it says half, right? We still don't offer them all the other things, so he's deleted all of the vacation, sick, and holiday stuff. And I assume you're deleting the 401k. The retirement's going to be required by the state retirement, so you're going to get that one. And then he's saying, I think we should add health care. That's what he's saying, right? Did I paraphrase right?
For example, we've got Verizon and we've got Corning here. How many of your full-time employees know all their benefits?
Well, Corning sends you some every year, but it's probably 5%.
Hardly anybody, unless you use it, knows the benefits.
Yeah, I don't care about vacation. Well, I'm older, I care about some of the other stuff.
Yeah, no, so
the town
so
per
the,
person for health care.
474.
Let's just give them vision.
So it's 500 a month, so it's 6,000 a year.
Yeah. So it'd be 3,000 a year for a part timer. They can convince the department they want over 1,000 hours. Half if we paid half. If we paid half.
Okay, I thought that's what we pay.
For our full time.
But if we're going to offer it here, we would have to deduct from whatever their pay is for 50% of it.
Yeah, if they signed up. Okay,
I was just trying to determine what the people down the street are going to pay for this policy, that's all. So, is it going to be $3,000 a year?
That's what they would pay, because they would have to...
That's what they would pay, and that's what we would pay.
That's right. Right, okay. Or they will let it not happen, and then we'll pay.
And if Ed lets it go over $1,000, the money comes out.
$1,000, yeah.
$1.10 per household.
Right?
This is getting way, guys, this is getting way, way too complicated, because I would say these guys right over here are going to keep track of this, and maybe an emergency comes up, and the 12th month in the year, they work 1,024 hours. All of a sudden, by your policies, you're giving this guy health insurance, what, that last month? It'll take a whole month just to put paperwork together.
Only if he signs up.
Then do you do it for the following year when he doesn't work 1,000 hours?
Yes,
you it's getting way, way right. too complicated.
No. Expectations.
Have it by, right. according to law, with the state retirement and the rest of it is zip. Or you get so complicated for these two people to figure out that it gets nuts.
I don't think
and
it's
nobody's asking for it now. Why would, I mean, we're making up theoretical situations that probably will never happen.
I'm following. Again, I'm
following. Well, Ed answered your question. If you said to an employee, I need you to work 24 hours a week, every week for the next year, and I'll pay certain benefits in 18 days paid. Is that easier to hire somebody part-time? Or just say, I can offer you 24 hours a week. Maybe then you have to pay into state retirement, but you get state retirement when you pay your workers' comp.
I think they said at the beginning they don't have a problem with retention
right.
recruiting, so we can delete it all.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So part-timers would just be workers' comp.
I don't
and
agree
state
with.
And I believe if the day comes in any department when we have no part-time people we can hire from out there because of this, then we sit down and address it.
Right.
I'm just trying to keep us from getting in a position where all of a sudden we've got all these part-times and we're busting budgets.
No, it's fine. You're right.
And then we promised and we're giving the benefits.
Yeah,
and then
you're right.
And then you give it to them this year, but you don't do it next year.
So is it a consensus council that Nancy can bring to us at the February meeting that this deletes the 20 to 35 hours thing? It's an expected 1,000 hours as a part-timer, and that the benefits just go to statutory credit?
Not at the February meeting as part of all of the personnel policy updates once we work with
okay,
the
Okay,
and the benefits go to what?
Well, statutorily required.
Just for the statute.
Would be workers' comp and state retirement.
Yeah, I guess, because I'm trying to think though, health is that's a great objective. I'm walking down the street, I wonder how many people say, give me a buck so I can get health insurance for this guy. How many people would say, oh, yeah. Here.
Well, we do have one statute.
Well,
we do have one federal requirement
that's right.
with Medicare.
You don't have to give one sick day, so you can
one federal requirement with medical right now, until or unless it's changed, if they work 30 hours, we have to offer medical. We do not have to pay for it.
Exactly.
They can pay for it themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
You know what? Maybe I'm going to dance around the school a bit now. If you're not going to give them anything for 1,000, it wouldn't be fair to try to push them to 1,000 when they might only get 1,000 out of bed and job. I don't know, but
well, don't make that decision with the department.
And I can look. My son has health insurance for the first time the first time in about 15 to 20 years, because Obamacare was available. I can assure you, he is not paying what our people have to pay for health insurance. His is very, very small, and it is very good. And the thought that it's going to be taken away from him scares the Jesus out of
me. Very small. What does that mean?
It is like
okay.
that. It's about $200 a month. So the fact that you have some part of the person that are walking here and want health insurance.
Hell, I didn't know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we need to.
Okay. We have a proposal for consensus on the table.
I thought you already consented.
I think we have it, right? We have three people, so, you know, it's a direction, right?
Where do you judge it at? What say you?
Who's the front? What about the salary one?
Part-time, workers' comp, and state retirement only.
I think you should give one sick day.
If they.
One cruel promotion.
Very good. Cool, that's three.
Can you live with one sick day, retirement, workers' comp?
So what does that mean? Is that right, they're just gonna make a payment at the end of the year that they use it, so they get paid for it?
No, if they don't use it, if full-time, if you don't use sick, you don't get paid for it.
But then I'm just making sure that, you know.
You roll it out to the next year to accumulate $240.
Well, I thought with retirement, the law would require them to have the entire year deducted. If they get over that 1,000 hours of.
Well, we're talking about sick day, not 1,000 hours on retirement. The retirement 1,000 hour rule is projected.
Right.
We have to look ahead. Every department head does that already. Okay.
But if it's projected and they accidentally go over, the retirement thing kicks in, right? And you have to make that. You call that for the whole year.
I can't say that for sure. You know, that if there was somebody went over by just a little bit unexpectedly for certain reasons, that you have to do that. Because the way they look, it's like projecting. But if they go over year after year after year, that's a different story.
That's another issue.
If it happens by a little bit, I think of one over a 12-month period, I don't think that's probably a big deal. But again, if you know that this person was over 1,000, you just got to start the process.
So Nancy, for this part, sounds like you can get two parts with and without one sick day, and then we can answer that when you bring it to us.
Okay.
So we're arranging the
things. That's right. So we move on, right?
Yeah. So using it. So it's not the statutory or whatever the heck the issue is in 1,000 hours, so these guys can manage it easily.
Part time, workers' comp, state retirement, one sick day. Right.
And the cost and how painful it is for one sick day. No, and then I look at it both ways so you can bring it to council. We can say yes or no on that. Because it sounds like council can go either way on this one sick day thing.
Sick day, we don't pay. If you have not sick in that year,
fine.
It carries over to the next year until you get back.
But the incentive for the person is that one day that they're scheduled for is the
big
incentive
that they're going to
pay for.
Okay, so bring us the pros and cons of one and then we'll vote on it. We can move on. Well, you can keep talking about it, you guys can tell us the pros and cons.
Yeah, I mean, you have to reserve that stuff for a week. You have to reserve for anything to carry forward in case you wish it gets.
We're just trying to save some money.
Okay, nice job. You got most of it out.
That's thanks, Nancy. Who's next?
There we
go. That's your long time, Nancy.
Where is it?
Okay, right now, policy. Are you ready?
Yes.
The policy says the town pays a maximum of 30 days accumulated vacation upon termination. Let me add one other thing. Vacation is the only benefit we pay if you leave employment with the town. We pay up to a maximum of 30 days. Right now, you can take one half of your accumulated vacation hours over 30 days. If for some reason you were really busy that year and you didn't get to take your vacation time, you can carry over until you've gotten 30 days. Anything over 30 days at the end of that year, one half may go to sick time, which the state retirement system will use in figuring your service credit. It actually helps you in your retirement. That's the only thing that sick time can be used for. I'm suggesting that we look at using all of that excess over 30 days to go towards sick time that may be used for extra service credit towards retirement. This is a change in the benefit. State retirement system doesn't care.
what would be called as sick time. It's a benefit to retirement points. It doesn't cost the county any money. Because we're not doing anything.
Most towns that I've looked at the policies, every year when you roll your time over, you roll 240. Right?
Well, max is 30 days.
Right, max is 30 days on even hours. But the max you can roll to the next year is the 30 days.
Right.
Anything
60 days.
Anything extra left over in your vacation gets converted to sick to go towards your retirement at the end of your career.
Right.
The way our policy reads is only half of that extra goes towards. We would like to make all of it go towards.
So what it does, it lets someone at the end of their career retire earlier, but we would replace that person whenever they retire. So I agree, it doesn't cost the county anything.
Yeah.
Not necessarily retire earlier, but it will give them a tour.
Well, it could retire.
Yeah, because
they could get rid of 30 and bail, so they could retire earlier, but that's fine.
You okay with this, sir?
Can you
retroact
that?
No. You don't have to take for that.
Yeah.
Not for sick time, no, but vacation time, we actually have a liability for everybody at the end of the fiscal year, how much vacation they have, right, up to a maximum of 240 hours.
And we tell them today that we'll only pay you for 30 and half of what, if you didn't use it, more than that. Preferably goes to sick days. So if all of it goes to sick days, you don't have to reserve anything.
Because it counts on that annual payment. There's no liability for the town for that.
We do not pay any accumulated sick time if you need to report it to the
county. Right. So what happens if you just do extra service for it?
Sounds fine.
Yeah, I'm so good. So
if you're retired,
you're gonna get a couple, you get to retire 2 months earlier.
But we're gonna replace them when they retire anyway, so
yeah. Fine. So, and most of them would leave at the end of the year now, or efficiency.
And most towns are doing that. We're one that's not.
Yeah,
we're good.
I mean, we're kind of
behind on that. We're good.
So.
Okay,
everybody
out
there?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's see, Article 8.
Okay, this one, this is a little quirky thing to me in the policy when we talk about sick leave. Policy says sick leave may be used to care for an immediate family member that is ill. Then further down it says, policy says that you may not use sick leave to be used for care of healthy children while your spouse is ill. Well, to me, if your spouse is sick and you're staying home and taking care of her and there are healthy children in the house, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm saying we delete that second.
I'm taking care of my sick wife anyway. Yeah, exactly right.
Wow.
I'm with you on that one. You got it?
That or else make the children sick.
There you go. Yeah.
And then you're going to take care of
them too. Sure. Okay, this one. Right now we have a policy that says you get 12 sick days. This is for full-time staff to be used for death. Of those 12 sick days, you can use 3 of those to use for death and employees and immediate family. Most other municipalities have sick time and then they have a separate bereavement leave of 3 days. I want discussion about whether we can break those two out, have a separate bereavement leave for 3 days, and then have your sick leave of 12 days. Again, it's an additional benefit to employees. It might cost you a couple of days without an employee.
Here.
Right. Well, but
That's more than.
We're 5%.
Yeah.
We're not.
So this could. So the change means you could take off all 12 of your sick leave days plus 3 for bereavement.
That's 15 days plus vacation. Plus.
I agree.
We just have to make sure the same mother-in-law doesn't keep dying.
I've never worked anywhere that you didn't have a separate bereavement.
No, I've never had
anybody opposed to this?
I'm opposed to it. You said 25% time off. And in the departments I'm responsible for, you have to cover that. So if a public works guy or a fireman, I'm not responsible for the fire department, or a police officer takes this, you're paying overtime to cover that shift.
Not if you use a part-time employee.
If you have one available.
But the part-time employee is sick.
Public Works right now doesn't have any part-time employees. So you just add 25%. I know. I mean, I think the no, that's fine. I mean, you guys are recommending what you think other people are doing, but
it's only if somebody dies. I mean, how many employees do we have that have dead immediate relatives every year?
Define a relative. So immediate family is defined in the policy. That's a defined, right?
Their spouse dies, they take their 3 days of bereavement, okay? Mm. Then 3 months later a child dies, do they get another 3 months of bereavement?
Three days
of bereavement.
Yeah, it's for the death.
For each death.
It'd be three days a year.
It's only once a year or for every immediate death? What if their spouse and their child is killed in a wreck and they take 6 days
a year?
The whole carload of family dies.
Vacations and troubles,
the ups and downers.
Downers.
So I'm okay with wherever the rest of council is. Three of us need to land on one space. I'm against this because it's an increase in benefits that I don't think any of the department heads would say we're having problems recruiting them and retaining employees, at least in my field of where we are. So I don't know that we need to increase benefits.
I don't know. Do you have an employee that was taking advantage of some part of this?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
someone died, but they can take it now. They just take their
seat. I think he's talking about make up somebody dying so they can take these 3 days off.
Well, they can take it now as part of their sick time.
Right.
It's just part of their sick time. So, I mean,
you don't have
3 days of bereavement when they lose an immediate family member, or, I mean.
So what is our?
I lost my dad this year, and I used my sick time, and I hope that I don't get sick later.
I took a whole week off, and I went to the state line to go to work. I had no idea I could take it out of sick leave, and I ended up counting it against my vacation. So if you look at it from the sick leave aspect, I've never taken a single day of sick leave in going on 13 years now.
So that's a different issue, right?
What
we're saying is, if we want to change it, if there's a death in your immediate family and you want to take all 12 of your sick days, you can do it. And the other question is, because this could be a two-part decision here. The other question is, do we want to add 3 hours to that for bereavement?
Three days.
So they could take 15 days instead of 12 days.
No, they couldn't take
That's
12
two
right
different
now.
Decisions.
They couldn't
no,
take 12
it,
right
the
now.
The policy, it would separate.
No, I don't mean right now, but it says
you have a separate.
We consider adding the benefit of bereavement up to exceed 3 days. This would be in addition to 12 days.
No, no. That's
12 days. 12 days of sick leave.
It would come out of the sick policy. It would be separate. That we would use 3 days of bereavement.
Second sentence in that first paragraph needs to be taken out of there, because that seems to imply that you can take all 12 of your sick leave days.
No.
So don't say it's in addition to sick leave. Just say it's 3 bereavement days.
That's
period.
What we're trying to do. She was just saying that on there. She was explaining that this would be in addition to the 12 sick days that you already have.
Okay, well, if we put this in a policy, I would not put that sentence in there. Call it 3 bereavement days, and that's all. And then either we agree or we don't agree.
No, we're not doing that.
So do we agree to 3 days? Yes or no?
I don't know.
3 days for even?
I'm not there. I mean, I look at the total time, there's a lot of, I'm not there either.
Can you tell us if every employee we had 3 days off per year because of a death in their family, what would that cost the town?
No, you can't, because some you wouldn't require it.
Exactly, and I think it's so three, and so few, it's 3 days isn't going to make that much difference.
I would tell you, what I'm used to is like, it would be like 5-6 days. And then if you had a bereavement, yes, the company would cover the bereavement, right? Particularly if it was a bereavement family. But at 12,
I've never wondered where it gets 12 sick days.
That's a lot. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Well, what if your department head pretty much kind of tries to sweep it under the rug and try to cover for you anyway?
For 5%. Truth. What? What'd you say?
Then in other companies.
What about
it? Does it.
We get if you 5 sick days. If you have a different family, you get 3 days off. But like if something happened to my mother and I had to go back up to Silva, I would give them an additional 3 days off.
But what would your boss do if you call and say, hey,
cover the hell out of them?
That's why I'm not in favor of expanding our policy. It's already a liberal policy, and my expectation is the department heads work with their employees to do the right thing. But the policy requires the town to do something, and now it's already liberal. I'm not saying that we should cut it. I'm fine with the policy the way it is, but we're paying enough to retain and recruit people. And I would expect the department heads, because you can do FMLA, you can do leave of absences, there's all kinds of other ways.
FMLA's not paid.
I know, neither is leave of absences. You can change their schedule so they can make up the time, whatever. They have plenty of vacation, plenty of sick leave. My personal thing, and I need two of you guys to agree with me, or three of you to disagree with me so we can move on, but I don't know. So there you go. You other four guys, yes or no, and move on. Because we're spending too much time.
I agree. It's a very liberal policy, along with the other things that the town does relative to how we compare on pay and very holiday stuff and everything. I just think this is. I'm not there. I'm not all that.
Two no's.
Three
no's.
Three no's.
Okay. Cool. So we will not do that.
Okay. Jim, your opinion?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not telling you my opinion.
Right now, we do not have a policy that says we can take sick time from a new hire who has come in from another North Carolina governmental agency. Most of the municipalities do accept sick time from a new hire, say if you were hiring in from the town of Leland or somewhere. We have a high
good example.
Management decision to do that on the few that we've had to come in, but that sick time is strictly to go towards retirement only. It's not for anything else. So I would like us to have something in the policy to say that we will accept it, and it's for the purpose of reporting to the state retirement system and fund retirement. We use towards additional service credits. Again, there is a downside to this because that person may have worked 20 years somewhere else and worked 10 years with us, and they may be able to retire sooner because they brought all the sick time with them from somewhere else.
But it's a state retirement payment, right?
Right. Yeah, it's not money. Right. That's right. It just means we might not have it for the full 10 years. I think this is a great one.
If it doesn't cost the citizens anything, I don't see a problem.
Yeah. I support that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Okay.
Yes.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one.
Okay. This was coming back. Policy states employees, if an employee meets the conditions of the state retirement system for retirement, the town will pay for continued health, which is medical, dental, and vision. 20 plus years of service, you'll pay 100%. For 15 to 19 years of service, we'll pay 50%. 5 to 14 years of service, we don't pay anything. What I would like to do in this section is clarify two things. That the town pays the premiums associated with group medical insurance for either a Medicare supplement if the retiree is medically eligible, or the same coverage that regular employees receive if their retiree is 50 years old and not eligible for Medicare. The retiree is responsible for any costs associated with Medicare eligibility. That would be Part A, Part B, whatever else. Normally, if an employee is Medicare eligible, we have a supplement that we would pay for. But we are now having retirees that are in their 50s, nowhere near Medicare, so we're having to do the same full coverage, $500 a month, that was doing with others. But we have had some retirees ask why they're not paying the Part B Medicare associated cost.
Have we ever done that though?
No.
No, okay.
And I, but I don't,
so
have
not a change. Okay.
I don't have a policy to go on to back me up. So I want council's opinion on that. To clarify that the town will pay 100% of the premium if allowed by the insurance vendor, if not allowed, the retirees for cost for costs that the vendor requires employee to pay. This is coming from the change with the state health insurance this time, where they're forcing us to pass on costs to the employees.
So why are they doing that? Have we figured that out?
They think it will incentivize employees to take better care of themselves if they have to pay.
Why don't they let the towns do that? I mean, we're the customer. Why can't the customer make that choice for them?
Well, because the group that's running the state treasurer's office, they're the ones coming out with all these additional requirements. Mainly, I think, because the General Assembly has opened it up to more towns and counties, and they're not happy with that, so they're putting more, trying to get the General Assembly to put more restrictions on.
But does the state require municipalities to provide health insurance to their retirees, or are we doing that voluntarily?
State doesn't require anything.
We're doing it voluntarily.
Okay.
The town has done it historically.
So how we do it shouldn't make any difference, should it?
Well, it does, because our retirees are with the state health system.
Right.
We don't have our retirees separate or different.
Right. And does this, so actually it would mean the retiree has to write the check for his half, and then we write them a check, right?
We pay
our piece,
but then we have to collect from the retiree.
So right now, there are a couple of retirees that have to pay for half that fall under the 50%.
Yeah.
They give us a check every month.
Okay.
Which, you know, then we apply for the actual payment.
But what I'm thinking about the guys who are 20 plus years of service, right? So don't they have to pay a portion of it, or we have to actually pay them back?
No.
Or how do we pay that?
Right now, we pay it.
Right.
The town pays it. But I think what Nancy's trying to do, you know,
are they taxed on it?
No.
No.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that.
But right now, they have the same problem that if they take a certain plan, the 80-20 plan, mm-hmm. it could cost them an extra, whatever the amount is, $15 or one up.
Mm-hmm.
That cost should be, they should have to contribute that, because we shouldn't be providing a retiree with something more than what the active employees are getting.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, how is the vendor requiring this? Is it written in state law that we can't pay it, right? Because we discussed this earlier, right? So this is an issue that I think if it's a state law thing, the town can't buy like that, so we have to do that. I think we just need to make sure our near retiree employees understand what the change is, right? So, I mean, from...
And this is the first year we have a couple of that. Now, we have a couple that are on a supplement, and that has not... No cost has been passed on by the state health plan for the supplement. But the ones that are on the regular active employees,
right,
they're not Medicare age,
that's the main.
We've passed that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think if the state changes the rules, we got to comply with the rules. But what we need to make sure is we inform our retirees and near retirees, right? So anybody trying to figure out their decision on it needs to understand what this is, right? So they can factor it in.
Right.
And as it changes, we just got to keep changing. But so the vendor, which we use, is state health plan. The state health plan is doing this. If we went outside, we wouldn't have this requirement, but it's not advantageous to the town to go outside. I know you guys look at it every couple of years, right?
Yeah.
That's why it's written as vendor.
So
we're just asking to add it to the policy.
Does it seem like the state's trying to get towns to get outside of the state?
Yeah, they don't want us in at all. I mean, they fought the General Assembly. We got in under very special legislation when they were down to three slots. Was it three? Four
yeah,
slots. We went to third.
I mean, they didn't want three towns?
Yes.
Out of the whole state?
Yeah, four slots out of the whole. This was 2007, 2008. The people, and then it was under the state health system, I think. You know, since then, it's transferred to the state treasurer's office. They don't feel like it's viable enough as it is, and there's a lot more risk. And the General Assembly has opened it up to more towns recently,
right,
a couple of years ago.
Because we said we were happy with the problem. Okay.
Right.
You know what? There's one thing here we ought to consider. You know, present company, grandfather, or whatever. But we might want to think about 20 years of service and an age.
Well,
right?
This is
as a focus. I
this
mean, John, for example.
Thank you for bringing that up. That's been a concern of mine for a while.
Right?
Well,
so,
how it's going to work. And this gets really, this was done in 2008, Jim, 2009. I would have fought this policy. We used to have a policy that said number of years and age of service. This has kind of years and age through the state retirement system. But
right,
if you're police, you have a younger age, 55,
yeah, right,
plus so many years, then you guys would have on this side of the table.
Yeah, so the age is in there, because it says condition of the state retirement system, and you can't retire until 60, right, in the state retirement system?
It depends. Police have a younger...
Yeah, I know police is different, but everybody else is 60, right?
Mm. Okay,
yeah.
So...
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Let's...
Yeah.
So, if I've worked 20 years,
I didn't bring
and I'm 45 years old, and I want to go work somewhere else.
How old are you?
How does that?
45. You say 45.
So, I'm 45, I've worked 24, I've been here since 25, I've worked 20 years.
You will not qualify by the state retirement.
Yeah, so we're not paying insurance.
You have to be at least, I think it's 55 or
something. Yeah, so that's in there. Well, that's, I mean,
okay,
that's how it is, right?
Yeah, no, no, okay. I didn't realize it was in there.
It's in there.
Yeah, because the state retirement has to say you're retired.
And the state requirement is 60.
Well,
no,
47, some magic numbers. So 40 magic numbers, 85.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So if you've 30 years of service plus your age, has to be 85.
Right. Ours could be 30 years as well.
Yeah.
39,
yeah,
it'll be 52,
50,
53 in that
yeah
range.
Yeah.
But what we're coming, what we're getting into is disability retirement. And I've struggled with this and interpreting this because it doesn't specifically say regular retirement.
Yeah.
It says disability retirement. We are having employees who qualify for disability retirement, but there's no age and years associated through the state retirement system.
If they're over 15
well,
years, they pay 50%.
If you have a 50-year-old that you're paying 100% of their medical, dental, and vision, and so they have.
Okay.
And
we got 20 years out of
the service that you're paying for.
Well, the state's paying their retirement, too. And I mean, you could argue that, and I don't know what their disability is, but hopefully we don't have that many people getting disabled. But if they've given 20 years of service and their disability partially is from working with the town, I don't have a big issue with that. I don't know how many of those we got. If you guys think it's a huge financial issue, we should talk about it. But
well, in the 9 years that I've been here, I think we've had two retirements when I started, and we've had several retirements. We're up to 12 now.
Right.
Two of those we pay 50%. I think four of those are disability retirement. A couple of those meet the age that they would have met in the reviews for regular retirement. This is to me, a very liberal policy. At a time when other towns were going completely away from this, and not even offering it, we went more lenient and made it easier. Because I think ours used to be 30 years. Jim, do you remember?
No.
You have to report this liability.
Yeah,
I'm sure. So, you know,
we're typically
when we look at our, we have to have an actuarial review done every year. And so our liability is like $2 million.
And we're paying $36,000 a year right now for all the times. We've got over 12 that we're paying for. But I'm not going to get into that. That's what council did. I just think I'd like to have some things clarified in there. So if I get the question, I can say for policy, we do not pay your Medicare Part A or B premium. And if the insurance vendor says we have to pass on cost to you, that overrides that 100%.
Yeah. Also, can
Can we see the financials on this maybe, or so?
Yeah, I can show it every year. We have the we have to send this out.
I just so we know what we're doing. I mean,
right. So I think I proposed to council two things. One, we approve the suggested revisions, and then two, we direct Arlen to give us the financial impact, and maybe to tell us what the other size communities are doing around this policy. So we understand, one, if we're too far ahead or behind, and then two, if he can probably project it out. Because we could change this and grandfather people in as of a certain date, or we could do a bunch of stuff, but we should understand the long-term impact. Just like you've done other projections, Arlen.
I mean, there's promises to make to certain people.
That's right.
Right. But going ahead, we ought to know what some of these things cost.
Right.
Right, and that's what I get every year. And if it were grandfathered, you know, that there was a change of grandfathered, then that would be factored into the actuarial
stuff.
And that's one of the main reasons when we first joined the state health plan, we only put our active employees in there. At that time, you had to pay 6% of your total payroll to add your retirees. They later on lessened that burden, and our retirees are in as our active employees are. But we were out on our own, and we were looking at policy premiums of $1,000, $1,500 a month for employees that were in the 50, early 60 range. So we had a little bit of protection in the retirement system, but if we had to pay 6% of our annual payroll.
So is the rest of the council good with that? At the budget, we're going to talk about this policy, but we can approve the two suggested provisions for
NCMA to move forward. I don't see this hurting anybody else, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Now you said there are two provisions up there, not one. I thought the second one was.
Yeah, clarifies just what clarify we pay, and then the one that if the vendor doesn't allow us,
what we pay.
It's what we're already doing. She just wants to rewrite the policy.
Yeah, we just want the verbiage and policy to back us up when we're talking to them.
This is what Nancy said.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go through these next two sections. We've got copies of them. I just wanted to review before we start working with the attorney what we consider unsatisfactory job performance and detrimental personal conduct. This is the part, this is our due process clause that says you cannot fire somebody for these things unless you have given them three written warnings, or demoted or suspended or whatever. You can take these and look at them and get back to us on them. Particularly department heads, any instance that you have in this kind of situation, if you think something's not up here that we need to put up there.
So what's the separate part about you can immediately fire for?
Right here.
So I can write on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I'm okay.
You can write somebody at 3 times and they behave for 3 months and then you start the process again. This is detrimental personal conduct that you may terminate without notice. Or I can't see my one in the red, which is brutality in the workplace. This is one particularly I think we need to beef up. We've got harassment of employees and or public on the basis of sex or any other protected class. We don't have anything about verbal threats, physical threats, physical violence. I think it comes under that brutality in the workplace, but we're going to need to, I think, define that better, which
talk
is
about, okay,
threats of physical harm, actual physical harm, and verbal cruelty. So just when you get a chance, look through it. Again, maybe to the department heads, if you've had a situation and we kind of had to force the situation into one of these, if there's better language or something, we can make it more clear. Because we want to be very clear when we're in this situation to terminate somebody without notice.
And this brutality in performance of duties, you're going to define what brutality is?
This is what I was looking at right now. We also really don't talk about bullying in the workplace, violence in the workplace. We need to beef up some of that language, which we'll work with the attorney to do. But I'm looking to department head experience for some of these other ones. Fraud or theft, commission of a felony. Right.
So if you get arrested.
Right.
And can't do your job. Okay.
Right. So that's it for personnel policy. I'm sorry, I think we're way behind schedule. Lunch is here.
Yeah.
Do you want to do lunch and then do our financial review?
Don't do that on an empty stomach.
Yeah. And then we don't have to do the beach accesses. That's not going to work.
Good, thank you.
What time was it?
It's 12 o'clock.
So if we don't do the beach accesses, we do lunch, and then we do the financial review.
Yep.
We'll still be pushing it with town council items. The architects, I assume, will take 2 hours at the most.
Hope not. So we'll see,
So what I'm going to do is just quickly run through it. We can make this as quick as possible or as much time as possible. But I'll just kind of highlight some of the things where we are through December 31st, which we have current year budget. Go fund by fund. General fund, kind of where we'd expect to be right at this point in time. There's been two budget amendments. The major one was $50,000 to transfer general fund money to the capital project fund for the fire station town hall improvement. So this just gives a breakdown of the couple of major categories of revenue where we stand right now. So again, we're nothing out of the ordinary here. Property taxes, we actually had another $640,000 come in since December 31st. So we're at about 96% of our budget now for property taxes, so again, we're on track for everything there.
Now, has our county tax woman told you what they think our revaluation will go up when it comes out next month? Or goes out this year? She was talking to us and in the newspaper that, looks like we've got some good growth.
Well, we'll have that little bit later on using the data that she gave us at the meeting last week. So, but everything is pretty much on track, I guess. Nothing really out of the ordinary here. This just quickly show what revenues look like. Those same categories over the past five fiscal years. Again, we're usually fairly consistent. You can see property taxes where there's been increases at points in time or another reason some revenue went up. The tag and tax together program increased the collection of motor vehicle personal property taxes.
So which years were tax increases? You remember last year was one, right?
Fiscal year 13.
Okay. That's the big jump.
So that's the red one?
Right.
And we haven't had one since then. There's one for this year, right, for 17. So
17.
That's not on here yet.
Okay, thank you.
Everything else, I mean, you see steady growth in sales tax. That was changing the whole tax base, some of the revisions that were done there. Other revenue, some of those changed back in 2013 was asset forfeiture money that we actually brought into the general fund, and then we set up a separate fund, so that was most of that. And fiscal year 14, under all other revenue, we had we transferred some money from the water and sewer fund, which was the result of money received from the Caroline Beach. And then the last category is loans, and that can just vary. The 1 year, fiscal year 15 is when we bought the three lots.
How long is the communication tower right now?
We have one lease that they didn't renew last year.
Okay.
But we added a smaller one, which is communication specialist added some equipment onto the
unit. I remember approving that. I didn't realize
it was a lot less. You know, it's whatever, I think $390 a month, where the other one was probably $1,200 a month.
Yeah. Looks like you're on $16,000.
And sometimes it's the timing of a payment too, because we may get we get the July payment on, you know, June 29th or something, then we get a kind of flip flop between fiscal years too with the actual reporting of revenue. expenses. Same thing, we're pretty much on track. We see a couple that look like they're running, you know, more than they should be halfway through the year, council. But that's because of the contributions to outside agencies are done up front. Admin, you have some upfront insurance costs, workers' comp and property liability, finance. You have an upfront this financial software cost, and also the sales tax, all goes into that category. Streets and sanitation, public works, purchased a garbage truck, so in the first half of the year, about $179,000. And let's see, you know, the other category is pretty much the $50,000 transfer to beach protection and $50,000 transfer to capital project fund.
So you don't expect to overspend in any category?
Well,
based on what you know.
Based on what I know, but you know, there's some individual budgets that I know we're going to have to increase. Committees is one of those because we had some engineering drawings that had to be done for the D&I avenue. So right now there's not enough money to pay for that, so we're going to have to do a budget amendment to increase their budget. And anything else could happen here to the end of the fiscal year, but that's just one more.
Did we talk about taking that out of the beach protection fund, those grants, the costs associated with them?
Well, it could be a possibility. We could take it out of contingency. This just shows the same categories, you know, the history over 5 years. Say admin and finance, where it was separate on the slide before because we've broken out of separate budgets. Here it's combined because that's the way we reported them in prior years. A lot of the ups and downs are capital projects, especially in like the police department, your capital expenditures, the police department, streets and sanitation. Admin and finance, the one big amount for fiscal year 15, again, was the three lots that were purchased that recorded into that call center. All other, the big things from 2013, we had all of the settlement legal fees for the Oceanfront Park.
Yeah, is that in all of them?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just going to ask if that was the spike.
Yeah, so that for fiscal year 13 and 14, you know, 1 year you had a lot of the legal fees, next year you had the $160,000 settlement. In addition to the asset forfeiture, which I said originally went into the general fund, and then we moved it out, which would then count as a transfer to put it into its own separate fund. I don't know if anybody has any other. So I'll try to, might be skipping over a few things, but if anything jumps out to anybody. Actually, I just wanted to show the change in the general fund balance since, really, this will be since 2011, because we're starting out with the prior year balance in the first year. So you see we've made some significant increases in the general fund balance. It's really up by actually 173%. So we've added about over $1.8 million over that 5 year period. So next let's move on to the stormwater fund. This actually, you see we're at about 29% of the budget for expenditures and revenue. That's a little misleading because part of the budget was appropriation of fund balance for the stormwater projects Jimmy was talking about. So, you know, we've actually probably, because that's more of a just paper entry, you know, we're not going to see the same, you know, anywhere close to 100% of the budget for that.
Yeah. Arlen, didn't we put the lift that's going to be behind your building? Is that included in that $690?
No, it's more one. This is more of
okay.
Different fund.
You're right. So, are we going to have enough projects to eat up that amount, or will we?
We're going to eat up more than that amount.
To carry
out? The original thought when we did this budget was to transfer some money from this fund and set up a separate capital project fund for the work that's primarily being done in Kerry Beach Village. We kind of talked then about changing that a little bit and not financing any of it and actually paying cash because, and you'll see that in just a little bit, but I'll go on to just say we built up the stormwater fund to almost $1 million to do exactly what's happening now. And so rather than take on additional debt right at this point, that kind of looked at it as a good time to spend some of that money. Even though it'll be a significant reduction in the fund balance, you know, we'll then have to build it back up for the next big project. That's all. So this just kind of shows the revenue for the current year, halfway through the current year for each of the major categories. Again, we're definitely on track with the monthly stormwater fees, building fees running above budget right at this point. Again, depends on just building activity within the town. So doing well there. Other financing, it was a loan for half of the backhoe. Mm-hmm. The other half went to water and sewer. And like I said, appropriate fund balance was going to be to move some of that money to the capital project fund. At this point, we're just going to use it for this fund. So this shows the five-year period, same revenue numbers. And again, you see, can't get much more consistent for stormwater fees because we really, the only increase is as new homes come on, so it's not significant, but it's up a couple $1,000s. Building fees, just based on activity and the other interest is kind of what it is at this point. We do the best we can for what we're allowed to invest in. And then the last thing we had, loan proceeds was stormwater, water sewer cleaning machine, I think. So half of it went to this fund.
How much is stormwater a month now?
It is
$5? Is it $5?
$8.71, I think.
Okay. We haven't changed it in a while, I assume, right?
2012.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that in a little while.
Okay.
This is the expense side through December 31st. And again, we're pretty much running where we expect to be. Capital outlay is a little bit above budget because we did some of the work outside of Town Hall in relation to the beach walking and improved some of the infrastructure there. So that wasn't really planned for.
That's right.
When we developed the budget. To show stormwater expenses over the last 5 years. You see some jumps in operations for the green, which was 2014. We moved an employee from general fund to stormwater. And then you see a fairly significant increase also for 2016. And that was due to some inspections that were done in relation to the project that's being done now. And just an increase in supplies that had to be bought.
Yeah, and the projects are on town.
Right.
They're paid for this. Yeah.
Everything else fairly consistent. And this shows the stormwater fund balance and how it's increased since 2011. And this one also is why I said that we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. We raised the fee in 2012. It's built this up to the point now we can use a fair amount of this to do this big thing. It has increased over $500,000 over that period of time, a little over 100% increase. But I will say that, again, for what we're doing this fiscal year and maybe what goes into next fiscal year for these projects, we could reduce that balance by $650,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just recently made one of the first payments for the work that we've done. It was over $170,000. Mm-hmm. We made Jim sign that check.
My hand shook too.
We'll move on to the Powell Fund. We're pretty much right on target with the revenue. Expenses are going to just vary based on the amount of street-related work. Usually, majority of that occurs in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see we're right on with the allocation. We've pretty much received the same amount from the state the last couple of years. And interest is in the amount.
Can I ask, where are most of our power bill funds going? Is it potholes or is it sinkholes or what are we paying for on the streets to consume most of our power
bill? Last year and this year, it would be for whenever they do big stuff in neighborhoods, repaving afterwards. So we do temporary patches in the wintertime, and then in the spring we come back and fix them. Because you got to wait until you get good weather so you don't waste the money.
So this is something like the piece there on Settlers, where the two sinkholes were really, really bad. And then you guys got out there and fixed. Are the pipes under the ground that have to be fixed? And does that come out of that bill?
Has to be kept to street related.
Right. So we fix the pipe and the stormwater, and now we do the paving with power.
So this just shows that we're at the same revenue over the last 5 years. Again, you see the consistency in the amount we get from the state. Expenses can be up and down. Again, it really depends on the amount of street related work that needs to be done. And say so accordingly, the fund balance is going to go up and down really based on the amount of expenditures. We do have a limitation on what we can have in our fund balance, but that's no more than the last 10 allocations.
Right.
So for us,
$600,000
would be the most that we could build that up to. Otherwise, we start to forfeit, I guess, future amounts. So this is just the other two what are considered governmental funds. So we have the beach protection fund that we set up a couple years ago. Primary revenue source is the transfer from the general fund. This year was $50,000. The other amount is just interest income. And then the asset forfeiture fund, which is under the control of the police chief. This year we've actually received $1,145 so far. That's the first amount we received since 2013.
Well, we don't want Sunny Point making any drug runs.
Hey. No.
So this is the beach protection fund balance. And again, you see how it's gone from nothing to no fund, then how we've increased it each year since day one. Whereas the asset forfeiture fund's kind of gone the other direction, and then this has been no revenue, and again, we're limited to what it can be used for, and it's under Mike's discretion on what it's used for, as long as it follows all the guidelines. And right now, that's probably down to about $60,000, as we said right here. Water and sewer, we're kind of on target where we would expect in both revenue and expenses. So if we look a little more detail, again, water and sewer charges where we'd expect. I mean, with the changes that we made in the adding the level for usage over 7,000, we've estimated to bring in about an extra $144,000. It looks like we're on track for that, if not even a little bit more. Kind of depends on the weather a little bit, use of irrigation. Tap and connection fees are up because of the increased building activity. The bulk of the all other revenue is late fees for on water sewer bills. Then we transferred from the SURF fund $180,000 to use to pay for most of the sewer bypass projects. Mm-hmm. And then the other financing is half of the back alone. And here it just shows the same revenue sources over 5 years. Water and sewer, you can definitely see when we have various increases. Like in 2013, so the red one, we increased the minimums. For 2016, that jump is where we took the minimum gallons from 3,000 to 2,500 and then also increased that incremental fee. So once we put 2017 up there, we'll see another jump when we have that full year because we've been adding an extra level over 7,000 gallons.
How many questions did you get on the sewer bill changes in town hall? Did I get very much?
No, I mean, you know what? It's more when there's some issue with a specific bill, like when
the meter went up or right. Crazy or something.
We did have some, but I don't think it was.
But once they understood the impact of
it. It was nothing. It wasn't a lot more than we normally would get.
Right. And your projections, were you close, do you think? Did the math work out the way you thought it would, or you have to check it?
Oh, no, yeah, I think we're on track for, you know, getting, you know, about an extra 144 over the year before, 144,000.
Okay.
Could even be more than that. Again, you know, it depends on certain conditions, you know.
No, it's all good.
The other revenue, you know, I think we touched on a couple of these things. In 2013, we actually had a loan, American Reinvestment Act or something, the whole Recovery and Reinvestment Act. We had a loan, half of it was forgiven, that was part of the agreement. That counts as revenue for this fund because you have to account for the water and sewer fund like a real business. So that's what that is. And then the 2014, that was the money we got back from Carolina Beach, just about $400,000. So this is expenses for the water and sewer fund. For the first half of the year. And again, nothing really out of the ordinary here. What we would expect. Transfers, there was $50,000 transfer to the new capital project fund for the lift station as part of the funding for that project.
So is the money we paid Carolina Beach in operations?
It is in operation, yeah. And
have we seen a change in the last month here?
No.
Not yet? Jamie, when did y'all re-divert to more stressful than mine?
Shortly after the first of the year. So we've been
so it's not been a month.
Yeah, we get it up, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of keep track of that too as we get the bill looking at so I can see where our percentage is and usage.
Thanks for the job, Bill. They've already called, I think, and asked what happened.
Yeah.
In general, how much is it? 3%?
How much is what? I'm sorry.
In general, how much is our usage? 30%, 40%, 100%?
Of theirs? Of the capacity? Is,
so 25% is what we have by contract. We're typically in the low 20s, 22, 23. We probably dropped down to like 13 maybe in the last 20 weeks. We probably dropped down to half what we almost in, I think. And that's why I think the meeting in March will be interesting.
Yeah.